Well, Mike, I talked about, you know, and really God is not upset of us, it's upset at us. God has great plans for us. We need to, in the church world, realize where we're at in time. God wants to bring things to pass, and there's things that have to be done. There's things that He spoke to me about this weekend. Spending time in prayer, I've been spending a lot of time in prayer this over the last few weeks, and I'm just going to be spending a lot more time. Just things I just have to know, and I got to find out what's things you got to push into. And concerning these last days, we need to understand the importance of getting things straightened out. Because, you know, back in the 1950s, there was a healing revival. And many of the ministers that were used powerfully during that time period died prematurely. And one of the reason that was concerning their life. You need to understand this about the anointing of God. The greater the anointing, the more that's going to be required of you. Don't ask God for a big anointing and think that I can just sort of live my own life and do my own thing, and it's not going to work. Because there's a price and a cost that goes for it. Now, you know, we don't like to have that today. We like the free grace message. But we need to understand this. There are prices to be paid for things. The Lord spoke to me about some certain things concerning the body of Christ and the anointings that are shortly going to come and start to happen with people. And when He talked to me about it, I mean, it all sounds great and wonderful, but all of a sudden it dawned on me. If those kinds of anointing come on people and they ain't humble people, they're going to end up being a mess and doing more for the devil than they will for God. You need to understand, when this great anointing comes, and people need to get this, the more you have an anointing on your life and it manifests things start manifesting. There's things that start happening. People get drawn to you. Money comes to you. And that glory on you can be one of your biggest problems if you're not humble, because when people come, and especially money, the majority of ministers that get a large anointing start following money. That's not what you follow. That was the downfall of the healing revivals of the 50s, and that's what ended with the charismatic renewal and stuff going on, because the money thing became the big deal. That's not what it's for. Money will come. Money will come. We need to understand that. But, you know, the Lord told, concerning ministers, the Lord told Kenneth Hagin, He said the three things that a minister has to watch. Now, He's talking about a man, but a woman from her side. But He said, the gold, the glory, and the girls. You get an anointing on your life, and those three things you're going to have to watch all the time. Number one, the glory. The glory gets on you, you start taking it to yourself. The gold. Money starts coming, and it will. You can't, when you're pushed to the forefront on something, it's going to come. It's going to be there. If money becomes a target to you as a thing, it's going to be a downfall to you. And the girls, whether it's a man or a woman, and, you know, the opposite sex. I found this out. The devil has always tried to send a woman along the way to try to trip me up. Thank God I got a wife. She picks that stuff up right away. It's about wrong motives in women. See, you got to watch these things. You realize how many ministers fall because of that? Probably more than any reason. I've watched some of them fall on all three. And see, there's things that you need. There's a move of God coming, and that's what this thing is about getting right about. Because when the Lord spoke to me about these things, I all of a sudden it dawned on me, and I said, man, that really sounds great. But I said, Lord, man, I'm going to need some changes. I'm going to need some changes. You know, because if those changes, it's like, you know, you've heard me say many times to people, if your spirituality don't develop at the rate money comes to you, you'll follow the money every time. You'll follow the money. Most people are after the money first, and then we'll get spiritual about the other. If I get real spiritual, no, if we get a lot of money, then we'll have a revival. That's carnality speaking. That's not spirit speaking. Revival comes because men get spiritually in line. It is nothing to have the money come. The money will come. It's nothing to that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, that was free, folks. But there's things that we need to hear along these lines. It's because God is trying to work in us, not to hurt us. He wants to help us. We have a desire in us for more of the glory of God. But we got to change and come in line with that. Hallelujah. So we can be vessels of honor. That's what I want to be, a vessel. I don't want to go through all this and then turn around and end up being a mess and dishonoring my Lord instead of honoring Him. Hallelujah. Well, that's good preaching. Well, we're talking about faith in the name of Jesus, and we're talking about that name, hallelujah, and dealing with the areas of faith. We're still talking. We've been teaching on about faith. We talked about faith, the what faith is, what is faith, and then we also talked then about the prayer of faith, and we're looking now at faith in the name of Jesus because of its use we were talked about in prayer. Jesus told us concerning prayer that in His name, that we could use His name and ask the Father for anything in His name, He would give it to us. That's an absolutely phenomenal statement. I don't believe there's any of us here that have a full revelation on that. I just, there's things that I meditate. I think, what a statement to make. I mean, what a statement to make is to grab a hold of that in its fullness. That anything that I ask the Father in His name. Now, you know, you'll always get the ignoramuses, and they are ignoramuses who say, well, God, He didn't really mean that because can you ask any, would you ask for, you know, God to give you another man's wife? And you always get the ignoramus who calls himself a Christian who comes and says something so dumb. Now, I done read the Bible, and I know they haven't because they're just downright stupid. But what they do is the devil puts them in the church to keep people from getting their prayers answered. To say those dumb things, to make you, well, maybe I can ask for this, and maybe I can ask. And people will get, maybe God don't want me to have my bills paid. Maybe God wants me to be sick for trouble. Those are the ministers of that gospel. They put those things out there to bring, you know, and they have a gospel. But it's like Paul said, they come along, and he told the church of Galatia, they preach another Christ. That ain't my Jesus. My Jesus declared Himself. My Jesus declared Himself. And so we need to walk in line with that and walk in line with the Word. Now, we're talking about, we looked at John last time we talked about this. We had one teaching on it, and the Lord changed the thing last week. And so He's allowed to do that since I'm going to let Him be in charge. And He said, we looked at John the 14th chapter. In John the 14th chapter, I looked at the scriptures here that Jesus made about His name. And in my Bible, I looked at a couple of my Bibles that I have. I have a number of Bibles and that stuff and things. And there's some different translations and different stuff. And this is my preaching Bible. I never write in my preaching Bible. This is a preaching Bible because I don't write in it because you end up just confused about what you wrote in it and that kind of stuff. And you preach. So I don't. But anyhow, in this Bible and some others, they have from John the 14th chapter, which we're going to, read. What was said here, in John 14, and we'll read from verse 12, but I always think it's very interesting because they put these titles and headings in your, you know, in your Bibles, you know, the different areas. You know, a lot of them, you need to get a black marker and mark them out. Because that's some guys. Now, number one is because almost most Bibles do this. They put on there, like this one says, the answer to prayer. These scriptures are not about prayer. They're not even about prayer. But see, they get you over believing and thinking the wrong things. And see, I don't read those titles. When I read the Bible, I don't even look at those titles anymore. I don't even care what some... There's the Holy Ghost in me. I let Him be the teacher. What happens is we get preconceived ideas because of looking at these things. And lots of times we don't let the Holy Ghost teach us. We look at a title and this is what it's about. And you just turn the Holy Spirit off from teaching you anything. Because now you got a preconceived idea what this is going to be talking about. It's not. These scriptures, we have scriptures that we did look at, which were John 15 and John 16, that told us about specific about prayer of asking the Father in the name of Jesus. But in John 14, this one here is about doing the works of Jesus. This is not about prayer at all. It has nothing to do with prayer. It's doing the works of Jesus. Now, we taught on this as doing His works, and it says this, starts off verse 12, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me. Now, who is He talking to? Who's He talking to? He's talking to believers. Is He only talking to disciples? Is He only talking to the 12 apostles? No, He says the believers. See, people preach, well, you know, those guys had that power. I'm sorry, Ed Gibson has that power. I'm a believer. It is designated to the believer. Jesus said that the works that He does, believers will do. So if believers don't do them, it's for this reason. They don't believe it. That's simple. If we don't do it, we don't believe it. We might say, I believe that's true. What is the point of saying, I believe it's true and it never works? What's the point? Is there any value in believing something that never happens, ever comes to pass, or ever takes place? Is there any point to it? No. See, a lot of Christianity is a waste of time. Because people say, I believe the Word. You know, how many times they say, well, I believe the Bible is the Word of God. Heck, I don't even know what's all in the Bible. Must have ever said it's the Word of God. I don't even know it all. Do you know it all yet? And in the four verses that they know when they say, I believe the Bible is the Word of God, they don't even do those. The Bible is the Word of God. But I don't know all about it. And the big thing of it is these statements made are so out there that the works that I do, He will do also. These statements are absolutely phenomenal. Jesus just delegated to believers, to all ones who believe, they can carry out the works that He did. In other words, His ministry and what He did. They can carry it out. And this is what we need to understand. It's number one, understand His ministry, what it is. Jesus talked about, and we read, you know, the last time of what it is. He also went on to say, they'll do the greater works than these than He will do because I go to the Father. People say, well, what about the greater works? Actually, personally, I'm not interested in the greater works till we get into doing the works. You don't need to know about the greater works. We'll talk about that sometime. I just want to see the church do the works of Jesus. I want you to understand this. The Lord spoke to me. If the church don't move into these things, they're not going to get any more. There's no point to it. There's no point. Why would He anoint you to do something else when He's called us to this? In other words, we got to get over into these things of what Jesus already said to us. Now, His works. Now, we looked the last time because John had sent his disciples to these guys to find out what the works of about Jesus. And Jesus declared in John, the 11th chapter in verse 5, He declared what His works are, the works of Jesus. Now, this is really strange. Feeding the poor, it wasn't on the list. I know that's a troubling fact for the church today, but. Now, He wasn't against the poor. Now, He says this. He said, what His works are? He said, what you go tell? In verse 4, He says, Jesus said to them, go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Gee, I thought you'd give them lunch first. You know, the poor never get the gospel or walk in the gospel. They're always going to be poor. They're never going to change. The poor stay poor. See, we need to understand. You know, we're so big on the natural, and really, the church mostly is natural. Christians follow natural things and walk in it, call it spiritual, but are basically natural, natural people, following natural things. So, in other words, we know this: doing the works of Jesus. And you need to get a hold of this. Years ago, the Lord talked to me about this, and over the years, He has spoken to me about it, and here lately, He's been very adamant about it. About the ministry of Jesus, is looking at the ministry of Jesus. The main thing of ministry, Jesus' ministry was healing the sick, casting out devils, authority over demonic powers. And we want to deal with this because we need to understand doing the works of Jesus. This is why we need to be careful. There's nothing wrong with prosperity. It's good. It's a message of the Word. But We need to put the works first. The money ain't in the works. That ain't the works of Jesus. We need to bring the works in. Why? Because these are testimonies that Jesus is alive. You know, Israel as a nation was in a mess when Jesus came. They're being rolled over by the Romans. They don't have their own nation anymore. They don't have it. Jesus comes along and really reveals God, because to people, you know, we talked about preaching the gospel to the poor, because the majority of the people in the region were poor. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees look down on them as if the reason they're poor is because they're not brilliant geniuses like we are. And they actually literally believe that God didn't talk to those people and didn't want to have much to do with them because, you know, they're ignorant. They don't know. They're not educated. They're not smart, you know. And so God isn't even really much bothered with him. Jesus came along and showed really the people that God was interested in them. He came and healed them. It was the sign. Those signs were things that brought people back to God. And see, this is what signs and wonders are about, bringing people to God. It's not to make you a big deal. I've always loved the fact that Jesus and his ministry, and you look at it and you read it, and it said he'd do a miracle, and they said they glorified the God of Israel. They didn't glorify him. Today, glorify people. You know, people follow after their favorite minister much closer than they do God. I'm sorry. I want it that people look and say, you know what? That guy's too dumb to be able to do that. That had to be God. He ain't bright enough for that. God has to be on him. It couldn't be anything else. You see, that's God used it. He said he didn't call many wise. Man, I knew when I read that, I thought, my God, that's why he called me. He was looking for an idiot. He found one. Hallelujah. He was looking for somebody who was too dumb to know what to do, and he'd show him what to do. Hallelujah. He found me. He's not looking for people that are smart. He's not looking for the genius that's on his dependence on how bright he is. That don't mean you can't be smart, but I'll tell you what, don't try to live by your smart. Man, you'll be in trouble. Hallelujah. You'll be in big trouble. Glory to God. But there's these wonderful works. He talked about these works in John 14 again. In verse 13, he said, we read 12, and he says, whatever you ask, he says here, in my name, that, he said, I will do. See, he did not talk about asking the Father. He said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. This is talking, Jesus is talking specifically. Now, I want to go back to that, because we talked about that word in its usage, the word ask. Because, you know, if you look at the word up, ask in the Greek, like saying strong just says, you know, the word means ask, to call for, crave, desire, or require. The thing to do is, I've been looking over at things and how words were used. In other words, the context of its use is really important when you to understand something that's said. You know, lots of times, you know, I find people, you know, as when I was in Bible school, we had, his name was Cooper Beatty, was one of our instructors. Guy had been in the ministry. He died he was in his 90s here a few years back. He died. Cooper was an absolutely, when it came to teaching, was awesome. He was a real line upon line teacher. And I liked him because he was a very detailed teacher. I mean, he would overturn every stone. But one of the things that he told us, and I learned, he said, define your terms. He said, you're going to find this. Most people know all kind of religious words out of the Bible, but they really don't know what they mean. And he said, you define your terms so people know what you're talking about when you say it. You define your term. Now, we're talking about asking here, where Jesus used the word to ask. This word ask here is really interesting on how it's used. I read it before the last time, but I think it's worth saying again. It's the idea of this word's usage would be if someone made a promise and there are conditions to that promise, and you fulfill the conditions, you can then demand by asking that the promise be met. See, understand by faith, that falls right in line with what faith is. See, faith, Faith is this. We found believing something in your heart and saying it with your mouth. The prayer of faith is what? Believing something in your heart you ask God for, then you believe at the time you ask that you receive it. That's what Mark 11:24 says. This is why faith most notably doesn't work for people. Because they're asking God for something, but they never believe they receive it. They're always waiting for it to happen. And when they feel better, I believe God healed me. Well, I don't take no faith to do that. When I was a sinner, that's the way I worked it. When I felt better, I said, I was healed. It requires faith to believe you have something you can't see. Faith is about the unseen realm. Most Christians are operating in the seen realm and calling it faith. And it's not. It's not faith. Believing you receive something because God said you did. And another thing, you can never receive something that God has not already said He's given. How could you receive it if you never heard Him say it, give it? You couldn't have a bit of faith to believe He'd give it to you. That's why people come along and say, ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. They come to get saved to ask Jesus. Well, if you have to ask Him, and here's what they mean. You ask Him, well, if I'm asking Him to forgive me of my sin to get saved, then I need to hear from Him that He forgave me. Or I couldn't have any faith. The Bible don't tell us. The Bible says as many as receive Him. We receive Christ. We receive the forgiveness of our sin. We're not asking Him to do it. He forgave our sin 2,000 years ago. That's a done deal. We're ambassadors of Christ. We're supposed to be telling people God's not holding sin against them. And the church says, yes, you are. Yeah, He's holding it against you. He's got it hold against you. Yep. Now you've got to try to get Him to forgive you. Praise God. He forgave this idiot before he was ever born. He took all the sin of the world and forgave all humanity. Our job is to tell people to receive their forgiveness of the sin, receive Jesus. He's the forgiveness of sin. You get born again believing on Him. You know, that's why most people, they call preaching the gospel to get people saved is they preach forgiveness of sin. And they don't even preach that one right. The gospel is much better than it's mostly ever preached. The gospel is more glorious than most ministers have ever said from their mouth. It's too wonderful. Why? Because they can't fit. It doesn't make sense in their mind that God would be so good. They have to add things to it. See, He can't be that good. He can't be that forgiving. There is nobody in hell today because of their sins weren't forgiven. Anyone that's in hell is because they hadn't received Christ. They hadn't received the forgiveness of their sin. Because Jesus, did He take their sin on Him? Did He? He took the sin of the world. And then they turn the coin right over on the other side and say, yeah, but you got to try to get Him to forgive you now. See, we preach these double messages and we leave people in a place, great God, can't figure out what He's doing. So God has made promise. In other words, Jesus said this, the works that He did, you would do. So if He said, then I ask, what? If I meet the qualifications, what's the qualification? It's faith in that name, faith in what He said. He said, I would do those works. See, you need to meditate on these scriptures till you get it in yourself. And you need to start confessing that you do the works of Jesus. See, you need to get in faith. Well, I'm trying. Well, forget it. The Bible don't. Trying has nothing to do with faith. Trying don't have a thing to do with faith. That's what everybody's doing, trying. I don't have to try it. Jesus said, the works that He did, I'll do also. I'm just going to agree with Him. He said, praise God, I'm going to do the works of Jesus. That's what I'm going to do, the works of Jesus. That's what I'm going to say. I'm not going to say everything. You know, I say almost every day, I cast out devils in the name of Jesus. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. That's what I do. Why? That's my ministry. I didn't have to, that's not being a pastor. That's just being a downright Christian. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I speak in new tongues. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. That's what I do. That's just an order. That's what we do. That's who we are. I'm a believer. I'm not trying to get this stuff. This stuff's already been given. Stuff's already been handed to us. He said, in my name you'll do that. So in the name of Jesus, I can cast out devils. In the name of Jesus, I can lay hands on the sick and they recover. That's what we do. See, but it's got to become real to you. It can't be something words on a page, and then we're going to wait till this revival, then it'll happen. No, it won't. The unbelieving, when the revival starts, is still going to be unbelieving. The revival don't change believing. I don't know what people think is going to happen. I'm not sure. Hallelujah. It would be best we got, because God's going to have to start this through somebody, and I told him I volunteered. Hallelujah. I said, I volunteer. I said, in spite of my ignorance and stupidity, I'm going with you on this deal because I ain't got another road to take. So we might as well take this one, and I won't be satisfied unless we have that. So if I'm a believer in Jesus Christ and have faith in the name of Jesus according to what the Word says about the name, I meet the qualifications to demand in His name that the works of Jesus take place. I have that right. That's what He told us. That's what those scriptures are about. And we'll look at scriptures because we're going to find out that's the way it took place. That's the way it works. That's the way it happens. But we're looking at these things. Now, one of the things that we did look at from Mark 16 chapter, and I want to say some things there with that, because here he is, as you see, Jesus, when he's departing in Mark 16, Jesus again talking to the disciples about what to do when he's going, what's happening here. He said to them, Mark 16 verse 15, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized, what? Believes what? The gospel. So here again, it's believers. He didn't say, you apostles. No, he told the apostles, you go preach. He said, now, these guys, these believers who believe and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. Now, I want you, because we talked about this word saved, because you got to get this thing out of your mind. You have been taught and trained, when you hear the word saved, it's just talking about the new birth. No, it is not. It is not. That word is used all through the scripture dealing with healing. When Jesus healed, people says they were made well or made whole. That's the same word. Why? Because the gospel is more than a gospel of salvation. It's a gospel of deliverance. Jesus preached the gospel. If Jesus preached the gospel to people, nobody got saved and Jesus preached. Salvation wasn't offered. It didn't have it as we know it. You couldn't be born again. He wasn't raised from the dead. But he was offering salvation. What? Healing, deliverance. There is. See, we preach today, you know, anywhere from maybe an eighth to a quarter of what the gospel really says. And that's why not much happens in people's lives as so-called get saved. They stay pretty much like they were when they weren't saved. Their lives don't change much. There's no supernatural in their life. But these ones who believe, he said, they say, that word sozo there, it means to save a suffering one from perishing, one suffering from disease, to make well, to heal, to restore, to health, to preserve one who is in danger or destruction, to save, rescue, and then from the standpoint of the new birth, it speaks about that saving from, you know, from spiritual destruction is what we're, you know, you talk about, you get born again. Now, we have this stuff. This stuff is here. It's being taught, folks. See, we need to understand. When we hear the word save, to save, we got to get this out of our mind. Most people, here's that. They hear the word save and what they think? Forgiveness of sin. You know, there's many people who came to get their, and I'm going to tell you, hordes of people have come to get their sins forgiven and never have gotten born again. And they have been convinced that they're all right. And when they die, they're going to hell and they're sitting in churches. We don't even hardly preach the new birth. You don't even hardly hear lots of times evangelists even talking about the new birth. They don't even preach that, being born again. Get your sins forgiven. Getting your sin forgiven is not being born again. Asking God to forgive your sin don't cause new birth. You know, I've thought it's the craziest thing because they'll go over and they'll talk about going over to Romans and the Romans road to salvation, and all they ever do is preach forgiveness of sin. It's like, get a life. What is going on here? See, you know what? You're always going to have the manifestations of what you preach. You don't get manifestations of what you don't preach. You don't preach the new birth, you don't get it. You get what you preach. Like a guy asked me one time, well, if God heals, why don't he heal in my church? I said, well, let me ask you a question. Do you ever preach healing? He says, no. I said, boy, big surprise, isn't it? There's no faith for it in your church. You don't have faith for it? I mean, no, he don't have faith for it because he don't preach it, so he couldn't have faith for it. You're not going to have. You're only going to have what you preach. You need to know that with people. It don't go just for the preacher. The people you talk to, you want to see people's lives change, and you never talk to them about the truth. How are they going to get their life changed? You know what most people, sinners, think? They can get a Christian to pray for them and get it fixed. They have the idea. Christians never told them the truth about faith, what they need to believe. No, we're just going to wave a wand and make this thing happen. This is what we are, you know. Huh? You know, stand back and watch. And people wonder why things don't work. You know, there's one thing as I found about it, it does as much good for me. In fact, it does. When I preach these things before I minister to people, it does wonders for me. It builds my faith. If you don't say things of the Word of God, don't be surprised you don't have faith to minister to people. You won't. That's why confessing the Word, maintaining my faith, hallelujah. Maintaining my faith. That's why I'm not always so quick to go pray and just to go do something. I will quote things and I will say things from the Word of God. I'll make confessions about things. I get myself ready. You know, you got to load the gun. Most people, all they got is they got a fire. They just got the cap inside. There's no powder in it at all. And the bullet falls out the end of the barrel of the gun. There was nothing there. See, well, it made a noise. Woo! They got cap guns. Dear Lord. What happens? You put some powder in there. Then you got something. Well, you got to put powder in there. You build yourself on your faith. So when you pull the trigger, there's something to go off. You need to learn to do that. Hallelujah. Praise God. You got to be a preacher. Everybody. But in Mark 16, these signs follow those that believe. He said, in my name, what they'll do, in my name, he said, they'll cast out devils. It says they'll speak with new tongues. But I want you to see it. Now he's saying these things are what he does that will be done in his name. This goes right over to what we talked about in John 14. In his name. These are things demanded in his name. These are things. Now he's telling us that he would do this in his name. So in his name, he'll cast out devils. It says what? In his name, they'll speak with new tongues. In his name, they'll take up serpents. And if in his name, if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means harm them. In his name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to these things, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and the disciples said, well, I wonder what we're supposed to do. Well, we're waiting for him to move. Do you know what Jesus told these people to do? He told them, you go down and wait in Jerusalem till you get the power. I'm just going to be downright honest where people like the Lord spoke to me. No minister was ever supposed to go into preaching the gospel till he got filled with the Holy Ghost. That he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke another time. Those people were saved. They believed Jesus raised from the dead, didn't they? They believed he was Lord. Well, were they saved? Yeah. But he said, don't you go. Why? To get powder in the gun. And we have all these churches out here doing nothing but shooting blanks. New Testament churches that don't believe in the New Testament. Oh my God. I'll tell you what. They'll get bags of stones. They'll be ready. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. Praise God. But these are the things. Well, in the 20th verse of Mark 16 says, then they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Why? And confirming the word through the accompanying signs. What does God do? He confirms the word. Confirms the word. See, you got to walk in line with the words. It's like the guy said to me, well, why don't God heal in my church? Well, he can't. You don't preach the word. There's no signs can follow no word. They follow the word. See, the people don't get in any faith. I wouldn't sit in some dead church. Just be, well, you know, Jesus say we're nice people. Great, you're nice people. But I mean, I don't know about you. I need my gun loaded. You ain't going to get your gun loaded. Keep listening to people. Don't have no powder to put in the gun. Jesus said you're going to go no further than your teachers. That's how far you're going to go. That's just the way it is. You know, we don't see great faith people coming out of churches that don't have any kind of faith preaching. Is there? Are they coming out? No. It don't happen. You know, you can't go sit down and listen and listen. We need to understand these things. That's why I'm listening to stuff. I listen to people. I have stuff I listen to all the time, and I'm listening to people of faith. Why? I need powder in my gun, man. I need powder in that thing. I don't sit around and listen to people don't preach it. I don't sit down. I don't go, you know, I'm not against Charles Stanley, but I don't listen. He don't have, you know, I ain't got time for that. I need a loaded gun. He's a great man. He's a nice man. He preaches. There's things that he preaches is good, but he ain't preaching loaded guns. He's not doing that. The things that I'm pushing into, you know, as the Lord told me, I mean, I was involved in a minister's group and had a lot of nice ministers, good Christian believers. But the Lord told me, I've been spending time praying about concerning the move of the Spirit of the God. And the Lord said to me, you can't stay with them and end up where you want to be. Because, see, they were moving away from the things of the Spirit. Because they started opening their death to all these other ministers that wanted to come in. And what happens, they do, is like here in Lebanon. We had a group years ago of Spirit-filled ministers would meet in Lebanon here to pray. And they decided they wanted to open the door to let all these other ministers come in. And as soon as the other ministers come in, we weren't allowed to pray in the Spirit anymore. We weren't allowed to do that. And I told them, adios, goodbye. Because we had things going, things were changing in this community till we brought the other ministers in. Then they wanted to have their religious stuff. Then they wanted to have, you know, we can't have it. We had one minister in town, came in one day, we're in there praying. He comes in one day, comes in late to begin with. He don't even show up on time. You know, good spirit filled man, you know. He wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, he was just a nut. Anyhow, and I found out he was a nut because he came in and he said, we're praying. And we were, you know, finishing up prayer, and he's sitting over there wimping and whining to himself. And he was, you guys sitting praying. I came today, and he said, me and my wife had an argument, and you know, and I'm sitting there thinking, you're a minister of a church. Go home and repent. You, I ain't praying for you. He don't need prayer. The backslidden buzzard. Pray for me. My wife yelled at me. Dear Lord, wait till you hear me yell at you. You'll think your wife's an angel. Now, if one of the members of his church would have came in there like that, I understood. This is the guy standing in the pulpit. You don't want to be in his church. I get fired out about some things, I'll tell you. I expect ministers to be ministers. I'm tired of this weepy little bunch running around anymore, weak-kneed, can't stand for nothing, and oh, poor, I'm hurting, and oh, my God, it's just so hard being in the ministry. No, it's hard putting up with you. God's putting up with all of us, and He ain't quit. Hallelujah. He anointed me to stand, not to whine. How are we going to help the teacher, the people in the pews, when the guy standing in the pulpit's the biggest whiner? Yeah, but he loves people. No, he don't! If he loved people, he'd stand up and be a leader. There's things you got to carry for people. You can't be the whiner throwing it over on them. You're anointed by God to carry it. We don't have many ministers today. We don't have many leaders. Because they're always trying to push stuff off on, you know. Oh, poor old me. It ain't poor old me. I've been anointed to stand in this office. I just look at it and it shut up and stand up. That's what you got to do. Hallelujah. It messes up. That's between you and God. Ain't no, just stand up. Go do what's right. See, we need to come to that. You know. I would have been so ashamed to sit in among the ministers and say, my wife and I had an argument and I just did, would you pray for me? I'd have thought, if I'd have done something like that, I'd have been so ashamed of myself. And he did it like it was some kind of great thing to, you know, pray for me. My. Hallelujah. Well, that's good preaching anyway, folks. You got that one free. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, you wonder why the church is so messed up? Well, that's why it gets messed up. It gets them up because people don't walk and do what's right. I want to talk to you. Let's turn over to Acts, the 8th chapter. We want to look here. I want you to see something about the scripture, about this name of Jesus, because we talked about last time of the authority in this name, but this name is not just authority. This name is power. We've been authorized to use it, but we need to understand the power that's in this name. The power that's in the name is it has its power to produce. This name is a name of power. And we're going to look at some things of Scripture and proving an end to these things as we can look and see. In Acts the 8th chapter, I want you to look here at Philip went down to Samaria. I want you to see something because you'll begin to understand why the gospel's not preached today, that we can look and see from a scriptural standpoint the gospel isn't preached. See, if we want it, there's a move of God coming. No matter how God comes and anoints people, if they're not preaching the truth, there'll be no results. The results, what? Follow the word. The signs accompany the word. So therefore, we need to get our doctrine straight. We need to start teaching and preaching the Bible rather than the theologies of men. We have too much of that today. Hallelujah. Too much of that. Now, in Acts the 8th chapter, we want to look here as Philip. Now, it says about this. What happens? There's been a persecution started in the church. Acts 8 is about 4 years after the church started. So can you imagine this? Christians, now there's this move of God going on in Jerusalem. And you know what? They keep it there. One of the best things ever happened to them, persecution comes. You know, today we need persecution in the church. Every time the church persecution starts, you know what Christians do? Get lawyers to go fight. You know what you're supposed to do when persecution comes? Preach. You know what the church does? Get lawyers. You'll find in the scriptures they never got lawyers. They just went and preached. They tell Ed to shut up. It's too late. Get the jail door open. He'll be coming. We ain't going to quit preaching. I'm not going to quit preaching. I'm not going to quit preaching. I'll just get down to the jail and preach. He'll get saved there. I'll just get down there. We'll get people healed. We'll just go to the jail and then they'll get sick of it and open the door and kick you out of the jail. Turn him loose. Get him out of here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anyhow, well, we find out they had persecution going, and here Samaria, here's Judea, and Samaria is sitting right next door. The city of Samaria sitting right over there next door. They hadn't preached there. Persecution came, and Philip, it says in verse 5, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord, heeding the things spoken by Philip. Now, they're heeding the things that he spoke. Now, here it says, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. So you need to know this, the hearing and seeing. This is what the church wants, seeing. Then we'll have some hearing maybe. No, it's hearing comes first. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Faith don't come by seeing. Wonderful in the universe because the hearing of faith produces seeing. This is how you get the seeing. This is how you get the seeing. You get the hearing first. Most people, I want the seeing and then we'll believe. There's no faith in that. Now, he says, what happened? What happened down there? We're going to find that the signs followed the word. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Sounds like the works of Jesus, don't it? Philip wasn't an apostle. What happened here? How did that ever take place? How could that be? A man who wasn't an apostle. He's down there what? Doing the works of Jesus. What's he doing? Jesus said, go preach the gospel. He preached the gospel. What was his gospel? What did his gospel have in it if it had these things going on? And we'll show you. So these things were going on. It says in what? In verse 8 said, there was great joy in that city. We know that Philip, he went down and he preached. It says he preached Christ. Kenneth Hagin said, do you think he stood there and just said, Christ, 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 Christ? Jesus is the Messiah. He preached, now listen, he preached the Messiah. Now, if we jump down to verse 12, because there's this little story in between there, verse 12 tells us what he preached. And this is what's not preached today in the gospel. It says, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus. Both men and women were baptized. What did he preach? He preached, there's things concerning the kingdom of God. What did he preach? The name of Jesus. See, he preached the name of Jesus would heal. He preached the name of Jesus would deliver. He preached, they couldn't have, it wouldn't have been happened if he didn't. See, those people believed the name. They were preached the name, that name will do. He said the name would do it. Just think, he said the name would do that. See, we're just trying to get some power. We're trying to get some. No, it's faith in the name. The name will produce it. See, he preached to them. How did they? The people believed. They were saved. They were baptized. Why? He preached. See, these people, they could be born again. They preached to them. He could be healed and delivered and set free. See, there's a gospel that's not preached today. It's not preached. Oh, people want signs and wonders. It must be preached. It must be preached. It's got to be preached. The signs follow the word. They don't follow your prayers. Signs don't follow your prayers. Signs follow the word. That's when I pray and I'm seeking God about stuff, I'm talking to him about the word. I'm talking to him about what he said. I'm talking about what's in his word. And I tell him too, I pray, I say, Lord, you know, I know I do believe this, but if what I don't understand about this, I want you to reveal it to me, because I want to be able to understand this and comprehend all that it says so I can walk in the fullness of it. That's what I want to know. You know, it doesn't matter if it's a prophecy. Lord, I see your prophecy. Most things that I've ever prayed concerning prophecy and that stuff, Lord has shown me things beside that prophet. He's shown me of things about that he wants to do to bring to pass. Almost always does. But see, if you don't pray about those things and you don't go to the word, you're only asking, you're just, oh, just asking for something. Give me this, give me that. That's you're praying. You're not going to see much of that kind of stuff. You get in there and start looking at these things and I'm, Lord, this is your revelation of what you want to do. How can I fit in this thing? What do I need to know? Lord God, because we need this. This is what I see, and that's what we need. Is there any way that I'm holding this thing back? Is there anything that keeps that from working in me? See, it don't just up and happen in you. There's things you have to come in line with. There's things that you have to know and believe to come in line with to see manifestations of things. I want to know. I've learned this a long time ago. There's so much that I don't know, it just surprises me. See, some people just think, well, I just know so much. If you can't get nothing going, you don't know much at all. It ain't criticizing anybody. It's you got a fact, you got a face. You know, sometimes I sit down certain things and think, you know, I must know nothing about this really, because if I did, we'd have more going in this area. So now I need to know over here. I can quote scriptures about it, but do I really know it? Is it real to me? Is it something that I got a revelation on and I'm walking this thing? It isn't until it comes to that. That's what a lot of people, loads of people know healing scriptures. They have no revelation on healing and they can't get it. They run around quoting scriptures all the time, thinking, you know, but they never got a revelation on the scriptures. I've went to the Lord many times. Lord, if I really knew anything about this, this thing would be working. It ain't working. Do you ever go to God like that? Tell him, say, this thing ain't working. What's wrong with me? No, you know, I'll just keep quoting my scripture and quit. Then, you know, 2 years later, still quoting my scripture, nothing happening. Playing games. Hallelujah. It's a long time ago. I've just figured out Ed don't know everything. And so when something's not working, I go, what do I need to know? Where am I missing it at? What do I need to grab a hold of this? Sometimes, it's like last night, the Lord just told me, I was praying about some things about the move of God and concerning, he spoke to me about the message. And in John, the 14th chapter there, the scriptures we read, he just came up in me. You need to meditate on those more till it gets so in you that you can't see yourself in any different. That you're a fulfillment of that. You don't see any difference in it, the fact. The works of Jesus just happened through me. Well, that becomes so real in me. Now, I can sit down and quote those scriptures. But I was praying last night, and the Lord dealt with me, and I just took time just going over those scriptures and over those scriptures. And the more I went over them, I thought, you know, I could see that there wasn't a reality of something that wasn't in me. It wasn't inside of me. I need to get that into me. And you got to get, number one, you got to get past your fears or afraid of what you're going to say around people and do concerning the word of God so it comes to pass. See, most people, they don't have a spirit of boldness. I want more boldness. You think I'm plain now? I expect to get a whole lot plainer. This world needs a whole lot plainer out here. It don't need the Christianity we've been having. It stinks. It's a stench. It's from hell, this passive Christianity. It's a stench. So one thing is I can see in these apostles and these ones in the beginning, they weren't timid. You know, they beat them and they praised God they got beat. Didn't get a lawyer at all. My God, what kind of outfit? What kind of outfit is this? Hallelujah. But we see down here, what has happened? The name of Jesus is preached. What is in that name? See, Philip knew some things that were in that name. All we do is use that name as our little tack on at the end of our prayer, which means most of the time, nothing. There's no faith in the name. People don't no more expect to get their prayer answered because of the name. They're trying to work some kind of faith up. I'm going to tell you what, the name will get my prayer answered. If I go to the Father in the name, I am guaranteed an answer. And it's not going to be no, it's not going to be later, or sometime, or whatever. It's not going to be none of those. It's not going to be any of that. Because Jesus never said it was going to be any of that. That's been all made up of men. The Bible don't even quote anything like that. But preachers preach it and call it gospel. And all it does is leave people in unbelief. See, we need to sit down and say, that name's enough. That name is enough to do what God said it would do. See, in Matthew 28:18, it says, Jesus came and he spoke to them saying, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Jesus said, all authority. I want you to think about that. All authority. He didn't say some authority. He didn't say, you know, I got pretty much authority here. He said, all authority. It's been given to me, like he says, in heaven and in earth. You need to understand this. Jesus Christ has no more authority in this earth than the church will operate in. He's in heaven. His authority down here, we're the people of authority down here. He has given us his authority. He delegated it to him. He said, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. So down here in the earth, boys, go get them. Go get them, boys. Down on the earth there, I'm delegate. What did God do when he created man on the earth? He created man and gave him authority over all that he created. Here he goes, I've given it to you. The earth, the Bible says, belongs to man. Oh, it's God, whatever he wants to do. People would say that God never gets to do nothing. Because they're always sitting around waiting for God to do something. No, we're given authority here. Jesus gave the church, he gave humanity back the authority that they lost when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. He returned it to us, the authority. He said, I got all authority in heaven and earth again. Hallelujah. The devil don't have all the authority. The devil had the authority in the earth. He's called the God of this world, but he's not the God of it. Hallelujah. He has a system he runs, but I belong to a kingdom. Hallelujah. That the King of kings and Lord of lords, who has authority over heaven, earth, and the scriptures, under the earth. His kingdom cannot stand against us. And in this earth and walking on the face of this earth, the church is in charge. And the church has been a bunch of whining, little wimpy one wandering around. Oh my God, if God, we could get God to do something. Oh, poor old us. Down, I'm just a beggar. Give me a cabin in the corner of glory land. Oh, I'm just a pilgrim. I'm a child of God. I'm born of God. Jesus Christ delegated all his authority in the earth to the church. Hallelujah. We're supposed to cast out. He don't cast devils out. Jesus don't cast devils out. We do. The authority's in our hands to cast devils out. It ain't Jesus. We have his name. And every demon will squirm and howl and cry at that name. They know the power and the authority. But that authority has to be used by a man or woman on the earth. It don't just happen. Don't matter what was given to us. Hallelujah. The gun's loaded, folks. The gun's loaded. Hallelujah. Jesus ain't pulling the trigger. We pull the trigger. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the more you walk in this thing, your gun can stay loaded all the time. You can walk around with a loaded gun constantly. Hallelujah. And the devil hates it. Christians walking around armed. Hallelujah. He hates that. He loves most of the church because they're unarmed. They're walking around and they're nothing but prey to him. He can make them sick anytime he wants to. He can steal their money anytime he wants to. He can do it. They turn around and let him get away with it. Well, what are you going to do? The poor people out here on this earth, we just got to try to take care of them till Jesus comes, and then we'll go off, and what's going to happen to them? Why don't we take some of them with them, let them get born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and turn around, set them on fire for God, and they'll get a job? Well, wouldn't that be something? My God, we don't have to feed them no more. I can't be their God anymore. My words, they don't worship me anymore. Woo! Good preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to read something to you here. It's from, there's a prophecy that I had printed a while back here, the Longmont prophecy from Kenneth E. Hagin. I want to quote a part of that prophecy. It was done in October 1974. But I want you to hear this prophecy says, talk about faith. This prophecy says, and there shall come a revelation, further light coming to the word concerning the miraculous and the part that faith doth play. For faith is like the fuse that ignites the dynamite. And when the explosion goes off, all can hear and see, but there was a fuse that had to be lit, and faith is the fuse. Faith is the fuse. Oh, we want power of God. We pray for power of God. Let's get in faith. You know, Kenneth Hagin, I've heard him teaching many times. He talked about the fact. He said that the church is always putting prayer first, prayer first, prayer first. He said the word always comes first, then prayer. Why? Because most praying amounts to nothing because it's not in line with the word. It produces nothing. People have no faith in it. Even they know what the scripture says, they have no faith in it. The word always comes first. That's why I learned from Kenneth E. Hagin. And you know, he wasn't quick to just go up and pray about stuff. He would go get his scriptures out and meditate on the scriptures before he'd pray about something. Oh, today, let's just have prayer. And then you get the knuckleheads get down there praying and say, well, Lord, you know what that person needs, and you know this guy and that's the Bible tells you, we're asking, you shall receive. They don't ask for nothing. God, you know what they want. Well, you didn't ask for nothing, you know what they want. Well, there might be 47 things that the guy wants, but that ain't asking for anything. God, you know what they need. The Bible never says, I would have what I need. I'm going to have what I ask for in faith. That's what the Bible teaches. See, we've been so misguided on the faith thing. The Spirit-filled people have been as misguided as the rest of the bunch. That's why faith don't get answered down here. We ain't lighting no fuses. Hallelujah. When I go to pray and it's about lighting fuses, when I'm going to use the prayer of faith, it's about lighting a fuse that's going to cause something to happen. If it ain't coming to pass, you're in unbelief, and that's called sin in the Bible. Whatever isn't a faith is a sin. To pray for something that you don't believe God, know that God's going to do, it's a sin to do it. It's a sin to pray that you don't know what God's will is. Why would you be asking something and you don't even know if he wants you to have it? We don't even know. And surely you're going to pray, you ain't going to end up with nothing because you didn't pray in faith of anything. You didn't believe you received nothing. See, we have a lot of things. So faith in the name of Jesus lights the fuse to the power that is in that name that will cause an explosion of the signs, or we'd say works, of Jesus Christ. See, we need to come back to sin. These things are in the scriptures. They're there. They're stuff we all heard, and we heard things. But they haven't dawned upon our hearts the importance of what's said. Is believing, is it really true? See, I believe God's word's the truth. Do you really believe that? If it's the truth, my words. When I was last night sitting down praying about these things, the Lord spoke to me about those scriptures over there. I thought, my God. He's right about this. I haven't really got those in me. And I probably quoted them more times than you guys, all of you guys did. But I saw it wasn't in me in the fullness of what it needed to be in me. See, we need to come down. It isn't how much you know. It's what you can do with what you know. You know, we're sort of like the piano. We can pass the multiple choice question test. You know, wow, boy, we're real geniuses. But now, if we were put on the job, what would we do? People graduate from colleges every day who are dumb as a stick. And they go out to do anything and can't do a thing. They can't do nothing. They have no experience. They're full of knowledge. But they haven't done nothing. They've never applied that knowledge to anything. They've never seen if any of it ever works. They don't even know. They just go around. See, people do that all the time. See, we're called an informational society, and that is our destruction. We're full of information, but no life. Amen. We don't live a thing. We just keep more information. If I can get more information, more information. It don't work that way. It isn't who can accumulate the most knowledge and who can, wow, we're rocket scientists. We're really geniuses, you know. We know all of this stuff. Well, how do you do it? It isn't important on doing anything. It's just knowing. Our educational systems are only built on knowledge. They're not built on doing a thing. They're built on nothing, you know. I mean, just think about this. I mean, teachers come to school, and Sherry, her job is to teach the teachers how to teach that came out of college because they don't know how to teach. So her job is to teach them how to teach. What on earth are we doing? 4 years of college, and they come out probably dumber than they went in. I want to be a teacher. Wouldn't you think somebody want to be a teacher would want to learn how to teach? Wouldn't you think that would be the highest goal of the thing? You know, I don't care if some teacher coming out and knows how to do trigonometry who does and is teaching a third grade math class. I have no need in her knowing trigonometry. What I need is her to be able to convey add, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing to those kids in third grade. If she can't convey that, the rest of her knowledge is trash. It's garbage. It's of zero value. It doesn't matter how much Ed knows about the Bible. It's about conveying what you know. It's telling, can I tell it? Can I live it? No more than I can live it do I have the ability to convey it. That's why we have most preachers are no more than mouthpieces of information. They hardly live a thing. They talk about a great God, but never generally trust Him as being a great God. They don't walk in faith with things. They're not doing things out here. They're not doing, no, but they're saying, you know, you ought to. No, I ought to. I have no business standing in front of people what I don't live. I have no business telling people about a Jesus that I don't follow. Woo! Somebody throw a bucket of cold water on that boy. Hallelujah. The signs follow the word. The signs follow the word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to go on. We'll be teaching more around in this area. I want us to stand up to our feet this morning because there's a things that the Lord spoke to me about yesterday. Ministering is to people. And so we want to obey over in this area. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just pray here a little bit. I want to, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we want to minister these things in a way, Lord God, because your desire is to bless and help your people. That's what you want to do. That's your purpose. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, we don't want to minister things just from our heads and psychology, Lord God. But you have a plan and purpose in helping people, Lord God, to overcome, to step into the place that you've called them to, that this year, Lord God, is getting in our place, running this race, the race that's set before us, stepping into that place. And Lord God, with myself. Yes, yeah, you're right. Yeah, stepping in there. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to listen to something I'm going to say to you carefully. It's something the Lord said to me that there in ones here. Now, sometimes, you know, we let things as individuals, we let things slip, you know, that God deals with us. And especially dealing with time. You know, when I was a young Christian, man, there's just, you know, there's just things inside of me, a burn to step into certain things and eventually go, you know. When you're a young Christian, you just, well, sometimes you think it's just going to be tomorrow you're going to do that. And just, but it's not. You know, that it's taking me to some years of development in certain things to learn to step over into certain things of the Spirit. I mean, I could see they were there, but you just don't step into them because you see they're there. You know they're there. There's certain development that you have to go through till you come to the place where you can step into it, that you can take a hold of things. And one of the things is I had, you know, years ago that the Lord spoke to me about a certain thing that I would do concerning, you know, in the end times where I would end up. And I got away from that because, you know, when I was a young Christian, see, I'd get over and praying. And this is what happens. You need to understand this. When you get into the Spirit, you need to understand the realm of the Spirit. You see things in the realm of the Spirit, but you need to understand this about the realm of the Spirit. There's no time in the realm of Spirit. There's no distance in the realm of the Spirit. So we see things, and many times we don't judge the time because when we see it, we think it's there. That thing can be down the road. But it, you see it in the realm of the Spirit, it seems it's right there. Like, boy, we're going to step right into this. We're going to do this. But that don't happen. And what happens is people get discouraged and people sit down and because they've gotten over and they've had things in their hearts. See, your heart is your spirit on the inside of you. And you pick things up in there. And you see these things and you're like looking there at them down. Oh my God, God's going to put me into that. This is what he wants to do. This, and you see those things. But you go over time and you go over time and over time and it's like, it's not there. It's like, it ain't happening. Then you start to think about it. Then you take the spiritual thing that you have and instead of meditating on it in your heart, you take it to your head. And you start thinking about it. And you take it to your mind. And the next thing that happens to you is this. That just must have been me. I didn't really hear that. That must have just been me. See, that's what I'd done. In fact, I went to the thing, it must have been me, to the fact of I totally laid it down and never remembered things again. Didn't remember them. God's been bringing up things to me, and one of the things he spoke to me about, really, the fulfillment of the ministry he's called me to is starting into these days, is the fulfillment of the ministry that he called me to. I'll be stepping into it. See, I'm partially into certain things, but there's a fulfillment of things. Nobody starts off right into what they're supposed to be doing. You know, you don't come into the kingdom and become a prophet like that. That don't happen. Don't care if God's called you to it. It don't happen. It's going to take you time to get yourself over to step in that office. It's going to takes time. And anyhow, I got over there where I'd forgot all about it. I didn't even remember. There was other things. He didn't talk to me about that time, but he spoke to me about the one thing that he had spoke to me specifically that I knew. And when he brought it to my remembrance that I had laid that thing down, and he said to me, "Don't you ever lay that down again." He said, "I told you that." See, is keeping those things. What happens, it isn't running around. One of the things that people make a mistake, God talks to them about something, they run around and tell everybody else. It ain't for everybody else to know. It's about you. You know, there's things that I've been called to, I've never told anybody else about. I've never talked about. The only one I talk to about is God. I talk to him about it. It's about, because it's fulfillment's in him and ain't in you anyhow. You know, is, you know, anybody can call themselves anything. You can put any label on a can. Don't mean there's anything in it. We got a lot of people with a lot of labels with nothing in it. I want something in it. Because I will tell you, you know, the Lord said this, the Lord said through Kenneth Hagin. He said, if you have a gift, people will know it. You don't have to tell them. They'll know it. If they don't know it, you probably ain't got it. glory to God. This is good for you. But I want you to understand this. What the Lord wanted me to talk to you this about is because there's ones here today, you've let things about in the past and you just laid them aside. That isn't even a part of your memory anymore. God's put things in your heart. But you thought, well, you know, that must have just been me. And you let those things slide. You let those things get away from you. But see, you don't want to do that. One of the great things about the prophecy in the concerning that Kenneth Hagin said in his 1987 prophecy, where he made mention that the church is not going to be affected by time nor space. I want you to understand, let me tell you a little something, because the Lord gave me a revelation about that. You see, one of the things you hear ministers saying, when we do, rightfully, time is short. But you hear ministers saying this, and they're absolutely wrong. We're just not going to be able to do it. We're just not, hold it. The anointing of God is going to separate us from the time and space. It will be brought to fulfillment. It will be brought to fulfillment. It will be brought to fulfillment. Amen. We're not going to be affected by the time and space. We're not going to be affected by that. Because that's not where we're operating out of. It does affect the church that walks in the flesh. They only got so much time. But that doesn't affect the spiritual church. Because God can make things happen that it doesn't seem time could allow it to go to pass. But it will happen. He is able to do that. So when I sit down and say, well, look, Lord, you spoke to me back that in 1980. Well, I was 30 years old. You spoke that here I am in my 70th year of life. I'm heading into my 7th year. I passed 69 and into my 70th. There's things that haven't come to pass yet. But I realize I'm not affected by that time. What I'm affected by is the anointing. And what I need to do is walk in faith with that thing. And I walk in faith and stand, but He'll bring it to pass. He's going to bring to pass what He said He was going to do. He would be a liar if He didn't. The only way He couldn't bring it to pass if I don't walk in faith with it. If I'm waiting for it just to happen without me believing anything, no. He spoke it to us. He said things to us for the full intent of the fact that we would believe it. We would come to Him with that and we would stand and say, Lord, You said that about me. And I say that, Lord, in fact, I have a thing and I say every day to the Lord what He said to me and I say it back to Him. I said, You said that's going to happen. That's happening. That's happening. That's taking place. Say, how's it going to happen? I ain't got a clue. I ain't even trying to figure it out. My job is just to believe He'll bring it to pass. Because I tell you, there's an anointing coming. The Lord spoke to me yesterday and said this. There is an anointing that we're going to come upon people in the body of Christ that's going to be greater than any anointings that any person has ever had since man has been on the face of the earth. He said there'll be people. He said there'll be anointings that will absolutely astound even Christians of the demonstrations of God, that things that God will do to grip the hearts of men. But I want you to understand this. When He said that to me, that's one of the things. You want to get up and take a little shout and run around the room? But the first thing I thought about was, man, we better get humble about this stuff, because something like that comes on a human. Next thing you know, they think they're the next best thing to slice bread, and they're promoting themselves. So I said, Lord, yeah, You said You're going to do that. That's fine. You go ahead and do it. But I know what my job is right now. Get myself in line so if an anointing comes on me, I'm not a spoiler. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want God to be able to bless people and carry it out fully. So, you know, that's what last Sunday's about, correction. Correction, correction. Why? People want some. People want anointings. People want things. They want God to use me. Well, that's what He's trying to bring us in line to be used. But I want to say this. If there's ones here today, and you, there's things that you've just let slip. You've let it, you know, there's things that have been in your heart, but you just left them go. You just, well, you know, too much time's passed. Maybe you've stumbled around and done things. Well, join the club. We've all been there. Sometimes we think things that disqualified us. Well, this is one of the things. The only one who can disqualify is God. Man can't disqualify you from God's call or what God told you that He would do in you. Man can't disqualify you from it. You know, there's things come along in that stuff in life, and the Lord, you know, had spoken to me already that there's things that you can bypass which may come along and you, you can't get it fixed or can't get it correct. But concerning the call of God in your life, you always still want to push toward. It don't matter if you did things that messed things up. You always still want to get in line with God and push toward that. Toward that call. Now, and I'm talking about, there's ones here that it goes back a long, long time. God spoke to you about things and you've just put it on the back burner. Never done nothing about it. Never talked to him. Never said a thing. Because you just, well, that was back then and I was young and I was excited and I was, you know, I know how it is. I've been there. But it was in your heart. And if you're in that category, now some of you know what you're called to do. You haven't laid it aside. But there's ones who've laid things aside. And the Lord wants me to pray for you today. Now, if you're in that, what I'm talking about here, and you'll know if God's speaking to your heart, you should. Is he talking to you about it? Or, you know, I mean, he could be speaking to all of us concerning these things, but really for people who need prayer in this area, and if you do, you've laid things aside, but you need to come back and those things need to be refreshed in you again. Those things that God has put into you. I want you to come up because I want to pray for you. I don't know what the Lord's going to do. It just came to me last night. I was supposed to do this. And so if you want prayer, you know, come on up. You know, if you want it, come up here, you know it. You know, don't stand out at me like a dog at a new gate. You know, just if you have any faith, get up and come up. You see, he is smart enough to come up. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Nobody else has let it go. Nobody else has done that. Hallelujah. Get up. My God, I don't have to sit there and try to drag this thing out of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. See, it isn't important that I know what's been in your heart. That's not important. It's between you and God, you know. We have Samuel came along, you know, and God told him to anoint. Go down to Jesse's house, going to anoint a king. So he went down there and he saw the big dude. And he said, well, this must be the guy. He's big and good looking. This must be the boy. This is God's anointed. And God went, wrong guy. Hallelujah. So God's not, God, you know what God has in you. See, Jesse didn't, you know, Samuel didn't know. Samuel's just waiting for the right guy to come along and God to show him what it is. And you know what is in you as God's put inside of you. And maybe things you've laid aside. Now understand, you do have a part in this. I can pray for you, but you're going to have to push toward this with God. This is about you and God. This isn't, you don't have to run around telling other people about, well, what God, you think God's called you to do. First of all, you got to get that thing in you, inside of you. It's about letting God bring things to pass. It's about the desire in your heart. It's about what's in you to do. What's inside of you. Now, I'm dealing with the gifts and callings of God. You know, this is just ain't, you know, you need a new car thing. That's, you know, up here, that kind of thing. This isn't about that stuff. This isn't about them things. This is about the anointing of God and your life fulfilling what's in your heart. Because you're going to find this. I found this in my own personal life. There's nothing worse than you not fulfilling what's in your heart. There's nothing works on you more than the fact that in your heart, your own heart's condemning you, your own heart's working at you and say, yeah, you know, this got to be, you know, the scripture says this in Proverbs, hope deferred makes the heart sick. See, the hopes inside of you are never coming to pass till you get in faith with them. And you can become, as a Christian, never fulfill, even though the dreams are in you, but you never take a hold of them by faith and say, God, I believe you called me to this, and I'm going to stand. Lord, if I've missed it, you show me. If there's something else, you show me. You show me what that might be. But Lord God, I know inside of me there's more than where I'm standing. There's more in me than where I'm at, and there's more in me than I've grabbed a hold of. Lord God, I got to get that. I got to reach that spot. Because why? On the inside, you'll always be at a place where your heart's sick. You don't want to live there, do you? You don't want to go to that place. Inside, there's just something missing. See, we all know this. Sometimes there's revelation we have missing. But, you know, that's part of growing up and learning. That ain't nothing weird. But you know inside, if you're not locked into something God has for you and you're not locked into that place, I know what that's like. When the Lord spoke to me the day of the thing I put in the past, I didn't have it in my mind at all. But when He said it in my heart, I realized there was a place in me had something missing that I had never hooked to. And that thing worked at me, and I didn't even know what it was that worked at me until He showed me what that was. Hallelujah. So understand, this is not a time where we're sitting down and looking, oh, I've messed up. Well, just join the club. You can repent. God will forgive you. So that, get that done, fixed 10 seconds. So that don't take no time. This isn't about repenting. This is about coming in contact with what God's put, you know, the dreams, the vision that God put in you, because we want those things to come to pass. It's what God has put in our hearts. Sometimes it can, like to me, I can't imagine how He's going to do what He said He was going to do with me. I look and think about, man, you're going to do some major things that are going to have to happen for that to take place. Major things. But I know that He's God. He said it's going to happen, so He's going to do it. Am I glad I don't have to figure that one out? I just have to be willing to let Him do it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to start here with this. We'll move you folks over then. But I'm just going to lay hands and pray just to God to stir up what's inside of you and is in your heart, is to bring that thing forward in you. Hallelujah. You know, to strengthen you with might by His Spirit in your inner man. See, when you come conscious about what's inside of you, what's going on in you, that's the life in you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I want to thank You for Your servant in the name of Jesus Christ. And Father, I lay hands on her in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank You for bringing forth in her. Bringing forth in her in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Lord, the gifts and callings that You have. Lord, You put a vision in there. And Lord God, the church needs that vision. Lord God, it's part of the plan and purpose. It's part of the body. Part of the body, and we need that. Lord God, and she needs that, Lord God, her desire fulfilled, Lord God, of what You put in her coming to pass in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank You. I thank You. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. He hasn't stopped it. He hasn't changed a thing. He's changed nothing. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Yes. Yes, bring those things forth in the name of Jesus. Bring them forth, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The gifts and callings of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want to thank You, Lord God, those things. The fulfillment of those things that are on the inside. In the inside, not looking to the outside, but looking on the inside. The fulfillment of those things. The good work that He started, He will bring it to completion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 You've had a desire. You've had desire in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it's yours. God put it there. It's in the Word and it belongs to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yeah. And it doesn't matter. It matters not. It matters not your position where you stand among men. It's a matter of where you stand before God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the gifts and callings, hallelujah. The gifts and callings, they're there, but you come in line with those callings in you, hallelujah. Yield to them on the inside. What's on in the inside, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then things will manifest on the outside, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, the visions, the dreams of what's on the inside. Yes, yes, yes. Barriers to break. Barriers to be broken down in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not seeing yourself in the light of what's in you. Viewing yourself in the light of what is on the outside or others have said. It matters not what others have said. It only matters what He has said. It matters not what men say there, because it is alive, because He's put it in you, what you are. Therefore, walk in it and rejoice. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, your desire can be fulfilled. That desire within you. Hallelujah. None is too young and none is too old. Hallelujah. For the fulfillment of those things that God has placed in us to do and to walk in. And it shall come to pass as He said at last. Glory to God. We're going to move you. Let these ones come into here. Let these ones that haven't been ministered to yet come on into here. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. The gifts and callings of God. Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Things in the past may have slowed things down. Hallelujah. They may have slowed things down, but that matters not.
Amen.
That matters not. What matters now is stepping into those places. Hallelujah. Stepping before the Lord. Talking with Him. Letting Him bring those things up in you to set things in order once more that you can walk in the place He's called to you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The desires and the fulfillment of what's in our heart to do. That God's put us in a place. Doesn't matter if it seems big or if it seems small, but it's what God has called you to. And you step into that place. Hallelujah. For your fulfillment is in the things that He has called you to. It's not what men think would be a lot or little. Matters not. It's His call in the name of Jesus. His call. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And He'll bring it forth in you. For there's things that you stop now and say, I can't see it. I know it's there. I can't see. But there's something there that I haven't grasped yet. It will come forth. Walk in what you do know and understand. And it will come forth in you. And you will know where you are to stand in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Some has been laid down in long distance away. But those days are coming now while it will be brought to the forefront. And those things that were in you, hallelujah, that the hand of God being on your life to fulfill what's inside of you. Yes, oh yes, yes, and there'll be great rejoicing because what's in you coming to pass in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Come over here, Wes, come over here and stand, Wes. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Dreams. Dreams and dreams. There are dreams of men, but there are dreams of God. And there's dreams of God that were within us. The desire to step into something greater. And those things keep rising up inside of you and they coming up because there's a longing in your heart for the place God has called you and you will arrive there. Hallelujah. You've stepped forth. So rest and rejoice and be glad, for He will fulfill in you at last what He has called you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Does anybody else? Anyone else? Hallelujah. 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 Oh, come over here, guys. Come over here. Here, we're going to let them come over here. We're going to miss it. Come on, guys. Come on over. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Those things have been there. They're in you. And it seems as how could it come to pass? Time has passed. Time is gone. It doesn't seem at all I've come to that place. But the Lord laughs because His anointing will bring it to pass. Hallelujah. For rest in Him and rejoice and be glad, for these are the days that all the longings will come to pass. Hallelujah. 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 Hungry and thirsty, hungry and thirsty, hungry and thirsty. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. 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 God sees your heart and your desire that is within you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Hallelujah. Relax and rest. For His hand will bring forth in you the things that He said, and your heart will be full with joy and rest, for God will fulfill the things that He said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Again, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For in you, you've desired more. And you've desired to step into things. And you've desired to know the real and the false. And it will be brought forth in you in this day and time. Well, it'll not only be seen and you will see it on others, but it will happen through you to others in the name of Jesus. 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 Oh, my. It's no little thing. It's no little thing what God has done in you. And it's no little thing in what He will do. For your place has done much. Where you've seen and thought, oh, it's only been a little. But God does not believe it as a little, because you've stood in and you've upheld your family when they should have fallen. You've upheld them, for He put you in that place. And you're faithful in that place is going to lead you to the great place that you desire to walk in. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes. Go back to that vision. Go back to that vision of many years past. For you're not done yet, saith the Lord. For I have not come back, says the Lord, and you will fulfill those things. For walk in front of me again, says the Lord. Come before me, and I will enlighten those things in you again, and they will come forth. Yes, and you'll say, Lord, how can it be? And he'll say, trust me. Hallelujah. 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 Trust me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Lord God, oh yes, the desire to follow, the desire to go after, oh yes, oh, no, and you're not a little thing, and you're not unimportant, but you're important to Him because you fulfill a place that He's called you to. You fill a place, things have not been easy, but you've stood, and you've walked, and you've been faithful, and you've labored, even naturally labored in work. Yes, and God has seen what you have done. Hallelujah. And there's things in you that will come forth in this day and this time that will rise up within you. Yes, of great victory and joy that only seem like a dream that, oh, is to a future that maybe I'll never see. But you will see it with your eyes and you will walk in it and live in it in the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for moving among us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for blessing and helping encourage your people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I just want to say this. Every one of us missed it. Every one of us does things a time along the road of life. We miss things and that stuff. You repented of it. You asked God to forgive you. Lay it down. Don't measure your future against what you did. Don't measure your future, because all it'll do is will hinder you from reaching to whatever God's called you to. Everybody's missed it in things. Everybody has done it. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when I think, you know, I'm just at the most spiritual, I do something dumb. And you got to repent. Hallelujah. But you know what? I've never had God throw me down. I'll turn around and go to church and He'll anoint me greater than He did before. It's just amazing what He does. He's a great forgetter. Well, you number one, you got to become a great forgetter of what you repented from. You need to become a great forgetter of your past. If you repented of it, walk in the truth. Walk in the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Father, we just thank You this morning, Lord God, for Your kindness and mercy towards Your people, Your goodness and Your love toward them. And Father God, Father, our whole desire here in this place is to be vessels of honor. That's what we want to be. And Lord God, we know that physically we're not some kind of people that are perfect, that we do everything right. But Lord God, our faith and our hearts are perfect towards You. Our great desire to follow after You. We're hungering after You, Lord God. We don't want something else. We don't want something else. We want You. You're the great treasure that we search. Lord God, You're the treasure that was in the field that we bought, Lord God, that we paid a price for a field. And we, Lord God, that's a treasure. We have dug that treasure up and dug that treasure up, Lord God. And Lord God, we want to be so filled with that treasure in these last days. The Lord, that God treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ is upheld above all treasures in this world. That name which is above every name is exalted among us. Hallelujah. And out into this world. Hallelujah. That there's none like that name, that nothing can stand against that name. And the power of that name can accomplish and do anything. Hallelujah. For all things are possible to him that believeth. Hallelujah. And so we thank You this day, Lord God. Lord God, we may be seem little, Lord God, as a people. And Lord God, seem little, Lord God, even in our own lives, as it doesn't seem there has been much. But Lord God, there's a great God in us. There's a great God in us. And Father God, we're going to light the fuse. We're lighting the fuse, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, for the explosion that will come, Lord God, of the demonstration and manifestations of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Lord God, not because we're great, because You're great. We thank You for it. We thank You for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're just a trust in You. We're looking to You. And we thank You for it, Father. Thank You, Lord God, for it in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Praise His name. Holy Spirit, I want to ask You if there's anything else that You would like to do. We want to know from You what You want to do.